ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విదిన్ నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Saram from Prashanthi Nilayam, and welcome once again to Outside Inside Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and we continue our series on the lives of those who have walked on the path shown by Bhagavan and become exemplar servitors of the Lord, who are indeed the beacons of Prashanthi Nilayam. In the last 4 weeks in Outside Inside Deep Inside, I have been sharing with you the story of Mrs. P. Surya Kantamma. Those devotees who are not new to Prashanthi Nilayam, who have come to Prashanthi Nilayam in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and who have visited the women's side of the South Indian canteen would have definitely seen Kantamma Garu. At 85 now, she is still very active. She is still constantly thinking of how to serve, how to train the sevadals, how to ensure that all the activities in the canteen continue seamlessly as before. And most importantly, how to inspire youngsters, how to inspire people to choose God first, others next, and themselves last. Her life is a testimony of this. I have shared with you how her father was a freedom fighter, how he passed away in the jail, and after that she was taken care of by her uncle. Uncle and aunt were devoted to Lord Panduranga, the shrine in Chilakalapudi near Machilipatnam. And how staying with the uncle and listening to the stories of the devotees of the Lord completely captured her mind, and how she just fell in love with Lord Panduranga. And at a very young age, she took diksha, she took a vow of worship to Lord Panduranga in the shrine in the Krishna district of Andhra Pradesh and Chilakalapudi. I told you how, even though she became a single mother at the age of 17, having lost her husband very quickly after her marriage, even as she was raising her son, she got completely involved in serving the community. As the daughter of the freedom fighter, there was always this desire to do something for the country, do something for fellow brothers and sisters of society. And how, given her energy, her acumen, she was appointed to be the sarpanch, the head of the village, and soon she moved on to the Jilla Parishad. At the district level, she started working for the welfare of the community. And even as that was going on, even as she was constantly trying to get things done for her village, her district, build roads, get power, ensure there is water connection and so on. It was at during this time that someone tells her of Bhagwan. This was 1958. And I shared with you how she had her first darshan of Bhagwan from very far, and how that increased her curiosity, and how finally she came to Prashanthi Nilayam 2 years later in 1961, and how that was a life-altering moment for her. How in the interview room, Bhagwan told her, "I know you've been trying to come for the last 2 years, but it did not happen. It did not happen because it was not my will. Now you are here because I willed that you should come now." And how Bhagwan assured her that, "I will take care of your son. You just remain a trustee. You walk on the path of spirituality. I will take care of everything." And how after that she had this dilemma about her worship to Lord Panduranga, and how Bhagwan blessed her with the vision of Panduranga. Very, very beautiful stories, stories of faith, stories of love, stories of deep yearning for the Lord, and the Lord so beautifully responding. And then I mentioned in the previous episode how after 1961 she continued to come to Prashanthi Nilayam. Very often she tried to be in Parthi for almost every major festival, and how when she was in Prashanthi Nilayam during the Dasara of 1963, she heard that Swami is likely to travel to Srisailam in the Kurnool district of Andhra Pradesh, a very sacred spiritual place, and how she took that opportunity to ask Swami if she could also be part of the group, if she could also be part of Bhagwan's entourage. And Swami very kindly consented, and Swami told her, "Okay, there are people going from Puttaparthi, they are going in a bus, but you join straight from your place, from Satyavada, her village, you come straight to Srisailam and join my group." Swami had given her that instruction and blessing, and so very delighted at this permission and privilege from Bhagwan, she returns to her place. Bhagwan left for Srisailam on the morning of 4th December 1963, 11 a.m. As I mentioned, Srisailam is in the Kurnool district of the Indian state of Andhra Pradesh, and the town is known for the Mallikarjuna Jyotirlinga temple. In fact, it is one of the holy pilgrimage sites for Shaivism and as well as Shaktism, people who worship Shiva and people who worship Shakti, who worship Devi, because the presiding deity of this sacred temple is Lord Mallikarjuna. Mallikarjuna is Lord Shiva. In fact, it is one of the 12 Jyotirlingas, the 12 sacred Shiva shrines of India. And there is also the shrine of the mother, goddess Bhramaramba Devi. Bhramaramba Devi is one of the 18 Mahashaktis. It is one of the Shakti Peets. And both the shrines are believed to be self-manifested. So having Jyotirlinga as well as a Shakti Peetha makes the temple a very, very rare and unique spiritual site. River Krishna flows through a very deep narrow valley, approximately 100 meters wide and nearly at a depth of 1000 meters from the hilltop. And the river flows at a distance of 70 kilometers to the top of the Srishailam shrine and continues to flow in the same valley for the further distance of 80 kilometers down till it reaches Nagarjuna Sagar, the ocean there. This narrow flow of the river at such deep valley gives this temple a very, very picturesque look. And in fact, it is because of this ethereal ambience of this place that it is called Patala Ganga. It is called as Ganga. It is called as the Ganga of the south because of its beauty, because of its sacredness. In fact, in Hindu mythology, this place is called as Ila Kailasa, meaning the Kailasa, Mount Kailasa on earth. Now, if you go to the legends according to the Agni Puranam, demon Hiranyakashipu did penance at this sacred site and worshipped Lord Mallikarjuna Swami. The Skanda Purana proclaims that in the Treta Yuga, Lord Sri Rama with Mother Sita visited the shrine and they consecrated Sahasra Lingas, 1000 Lingas here. In the Dwapara Yuga, Arjuna, while his pilgrimage along with his brothers, the Pandavas, during their exile, spent some time in this sacred site and they worshipped the deities here. In fact, even now there is a pond at the footway of Srishailam, which is called as the pond of Bhima. It is also the site where it is believed that Lord Dattatreya, Bhagwan Dattatreya, did penance. In fact, there is a tree which is called Stalavriksham. It is called as Dattatreya Vriksham. It is the tree where Lord Dattatreya did meditation. And of course, in the Kali Yuga, you have the great Advaita philosopher Sri Adi Shankaracharya visiting the shrine. We also have so many saints who have visited this sacred spot, and the place found its fulfillment when Bhagwan himself visited this shrine in the December of 1963. So Swami reached Srisailam at 2 a.m. on the morning of 5th December. It was a 300-mile long journey for Bhagwan. And the rural, rustic folk of this country, of the countryside, they were so thrilled to see Bhagwan. Swami told the devotees, Shankaracharya had installed a chakra here. And this chakra is now stationed in a small cave by the side of Patala Ganga, Bhagwan revealed. Swami did Abhishekam to the shrine of Mallikarjuna here. Swami materialized Vibhuti and applied it to the Linga. Swami, just like he did in Badrinath, Swami created golden tummi flowers and golden bilva leaves and Swami showered it on the Linga, thus recharging this sacred shrine. This happened on the 6th of December 1963. The previous day, Swami laid the foundation stone for a new building of the Annapurna Satram of the Arya Vaishya Sangha, the community of Arya Vaishyas. The Vaishyas community people had built a building to do daily Narayan Seva, and Swami laid the foundation stone for that building. And Swami also addressed a huge gathering of pilgrims the previous evening, December 5th, and told everyone to lead very disciplined lives, lead lives of self-control. Swami also lit the Akhanda Deepa at the Shivanama Japasaptaha Mandapa. There was a place where there was continuous chanting of Lord Shiva's name, and Swami lit the lamp there. So this happened on the 5th, and on 6th, Swami consecrated the shrine of Lord Mallikarjuna, and Kantamma Garu was very blessed to be with Bhagwan, to witness these sacred shrines and to be part of Bhagwan's entourage and drink in the bliss of being with Swami, traveling with Swami to these sacred shrines. And how much more blessed can one be than to travel with Bhagwan to such shrines. Visiting such shrines is itself so purifying, so sanctifying, and to go with these shrines with Shiva himself, that was the blessing of very, very chosen few devotees. 1963. There are many stories behind the Srishailam temple when Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati decided to find suitable brides for their sons, Ganesha and Kartikeya. At that point in time, Lord Shiva says that the one who goes around the world in circumambulation first will get married first. And Lord Kartikeya could go around the world on his vehicle, on the peacock, while Lord Ganesha just went round his parents 7 times according to the sacred scriptures, according to the legends. And we know how for him parents were equal to all the worlds, and the parents, Lord Shiva and Mother Shakti, were so happy with Lord Ganesha that they performed the marriage of Lord Ganesha to Siddhi and Buddhi. They are supposed to be the daughters of Vishwarupam. And apparently at this, Kartikeya was not happy and he went away to stay alone on Mount Kravunja. And he became a Kumar Brahmachari and he said, I will stay alone in this mountain. And Lord Shiva wanted to pacify his son, and when Kartikeya was leaving that place, knowing that Lord Shiva was coming there, the gods request him to continue to stay there. And that sacred shrine where Lord Shiva and Parvati met Kartikeya is the sacred site of Srishailam. In fact, it is believed that Lord Shiva visits Lord Kartikeya on Amavasya day, on New Moon day, and the temple is situated facing east. There's another story, another mythological tale where goddess Adi Shakti acquired the shape of a bee. Bee is called Bhramaram. And she took this form to kill the cruel demon Arunasura. And after killing this demon, the goddess settled down in Srishailam as Brahmaramma Devi, the form that she had taken to vanquish evil. And it is also a Shakti Peet, because the neck portion of Shakti Devi, of Sati Devi, if we know the story of Mother Sati and how her body was split into various parts, and all these sacred parts fell in different parts of India, and how that's how we have the various Shakti Peets in India. So they say the neck portion of the Divine Mother Sati during this Daksha Yajna, which happened, the neck portion fell in this place, and that's why it is also a Shakti Peetam. So it was to such a shrine that Bhagwan took all these devotees, and after Swami consecrated the shrine, after he did Abhishekam to that shrine, Swami led the devotees to the Shikhara Darshanam hill, to the top of the hill, and Swami explained to them the significance of this Mallikarjuna form of Lord Shiva. Mallika is jasmine. It is a form of Lord Shiva who he worshipped with jasmine flowers. And then Bhagwan gave a beautiful discourse there. In fact, in the course of the discourse, Swami created a gold medallion of Shiva and Parvati, and Swami gave it to a devotee for daily worship. And in the discourse that Swami gave on that occasion, Swami said, bhakti, devotion, is not like lime pickle to be used only when you have fever. Bhakti is man's daily substance. It is man's daily sustenance. It is the vitamin that man needs for physical and mental health. That is how important devotion is. And Swami went on to say, the contemplation of God is the main rice. This is the main dish. Everything else in our life are only side dishes. They are only appetizers and fillers. Thinking about God, that is the main activity of our life. And Swami said, you should take the tablets, the tablet of Namasmarana. If you take the tablet of Namasmarana, then all the experiences of your daily life, be it good or bad, they will be digested nicely, Swami says. If you take this tablet, then everything else will get digested. Everything that you experience in life. Bhagwan gave another analogy, and Swami said, you don't eat paddy, do you? You always remove the husk and then boil the rice before you eat it. Bhagwan said, similarly, why do you take in nature as it is? Remove the allurement that it has to the senses. Don't see the world as it is. Remove that attractions to the senses. Make everything just an expression of the divine will. And then accept the world. Bhagwan went on to stress on Namasmarana and said, do Namasmarana with full faith and pure heart. Bhagwan said, you forget your nature in the complex tangle of artificiality. You miss the sahaja when you are caught in the net of asahaja. In the net of artificial life, we forget what is natural to us. What is natural to us is love. What is natural to us is shanti. What is natural to us is satya, truth and ananda, happiness. What is artificial to us is actually hate and falsehood and war and greed, Swami says. Bhagwan went on and said, you must discover the spring of your own truth. You cannot play truant for long. After many births, even if their number is 100, you have to reach the source from where you have strayed. All of us have to go back to the source. And Bhagwan says, yeah, the mind is wavering. When you ask it to focus on God, it wavers. But once God enters your heart, you can tame the mind. You can tame it by reciting the name of God, by Namasmarana. Swami said, this is the message that I have come to give you. Have the Namam on your tongue. Have God's name on your tongue. Have His Rupam in your eye. Have His form in your eye. And have His Mahima, His divine glory, in your heart. Then thunderbolts will pass by and do nothing to you. This was Bhagwan's message. And Swami says, you have to do Namasmarana with full faith, with pure heart. Yes, the country is endangered. The country had a lot of challenges during that time, including a looming war. And Swami said, when the country is endangered, it is as bad as when the body is endangered. What will give courage is the name. The name will give you courage. Swami said, if all of you strengthen your moral qualities and develop faith in God and in Sanatana Dharma, in our ancient spiritual culture. Swami said, no calamity can ever visit this land. And Swami then proclaims that let all the Astikas, let all people who believe in God proclaim the value of meditation on God. Let all people stand by the value of contemplating on God. All those people who believe in God. Swami says, I will bless that endeavor because I know that that will save you and that will save the country. And Swami said, I am blessing you thus on this note of joy. It was a very, very beautiful, very, very powerful discourse that Swami gave. And as I mentioned, even as Bhagavan was speaking to the devotees, Swami created this gold medallion of Shiva and Parvati and he gave it to the devotees for worship. It was one of those very, very remarkable moments when Swami visited another shrine and recharged the shrine. There are very, very few such sacred and holy places where Bhagavan himself went and personally recharged the shrine. It happened in Badrinath, it happened in Somnath, and it happened to Lord Mallikarjuna in Srishailam too.
Shambho Mahadeva Mallikarjuna.
So that is how Bhagavan was at the shrine of Lord Mallikarjuna and Srishailam and Srimati Surya Kantamma Garu was blessed to be part of Bhagwan's entourage, Bhagwan's party, when they visited the shrine. And in fact, as I mentioned the previous day, Swami spoke to the Arya Vaishya Sangha, the community of Vaishyas. Swami spoke to them once again on December 6, 1963. And then Swami left for the hydroelectric project in Srisailam. The Srisailam Dam, which is very well known, it is in fact the third largest capacity hydroelectric project in India. It is a dam constructed across the Krishna River at Srisailam. And the construction started in 1963. In fact, the chief engineer of the Srisailam power project invited Bhagwan to the project site. The foundation stone for the project was laid 4 to 6 months prior to that by the Prime Minister, the then Prime Minister of India, Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru. And Swami acceded to the prayer of this chief engineer, and Swami visited the power project, which of course was still under construction. And there were buses arranged for all the devotees also. The devotees were part of Bhagwan's group. And the chief engineer took Swami on a lift at the site to the top, from where the whole project was visible. And all the workers there, they were thrilled to have Bhagwan's darshan. In fact, Swami started giving a discourse there to all the workers. Looking at the workers, Swami wanted to speak to them. And Swami said, "You've all gathered here from the distant corners of our country, from every state, from every linguistic unit, because you want to pool your skills of hand and skills of head for the successful completion of this great task. Because once this project is complete, it will give food, it will give happiness to crores of brothers and sisters for centuries," Swami said, "because that dam would give power, the dam would help in irrigation, the dam would help in so many things." And Swami said, "This is a great chance for all of you, a chance that comes to a few." And Swami said, "The lake that will fill this gorge with waters of the Krishna River when you build the dam across it, that is the ocean of your selfless effort." Swami said, "You will all see when the water comes, and you will feel the coolness, you will feel the depth, and you will feel that strength of that water. You will be so happy. That will inspire you. That will make you feel that your life has been worthwhile. At the same time, even as you do this work, don't go about doing this holy task in a haphazard way," Swami said. "Do it with Shraddha and Bhakti. Do it with faith and devotion. With that Shraddha and Bhakti, as you curb this mighty river, which has carved its way through these hard rocks since the beginning of time, you are trying to obstruct its speed and its rage so that it can be made beneficial for men, plants and animals. By skill and daring, you are trying to see that this gift of nature is halted for a while so that all can benefit from the new channel that is created." Bhagwan said, "In the similar way, channelize your passions into useful fields. Channelize your passions. Take them away from waywardness, from ego, from anger, from malice, from envy and greed, and from the roaring flood of passions. Put that dam in your heart and canalize them into useful activities. Utilize the force of those qualities to gain better results from your efforts and better results from your spiritual sadhana. And from that water, the redirected water. Grow in those fields the fruits of Shanti and Prema. That is the agriculture that spiritual aspirants should be doing. And Swami said, this is a very ancient science. Very ancient science. I have only come to remind you of it and to tell you of the need to follow that path. That is how great masters are. That is how we saw in Bhagwan. Every time he saw anything, he was constantly conveying some message, and it would always be such a beautiful, apt message, such a profound message. Nothing around is not spiritual. Whether you are in a picnic with Bhagwan, whether he is giving a discourse, whether Swami is seeing a sports meet even, whether he is seeing a drama rehearsal, or whether he is seeing primary school kids eating ice cream, Swami would always convey lessons. Lessons that take you back to the source, the very source of happiness. And that is what Bhagwan did to all these workers when he saw them working for this dam, for this power project. At the same time, Swami told all the devotees in his group not to go to the river because the flow was very high. The water was at great speed, and Swami said nobody to step into the water and take bath. Many people consider that river to be very sacred because it is called as Patala Ganga. But Swami said, you just go and sprinkle that water on your head, but don't step into the water. In fact, looking at all the people who were with him, Swami in fact pointed to all of them, and Swami told the chief engineer, see, I have all these people. If you want any work to be done, you tell me. I will ask all these people. They'll very enthusiastically do. They can in fact complete your work in no time. They're very, very skilled and very enthusiastic. I mean, that is how Swami was so happy and so enthusiastically sharing about his group with his chief engineer. The chief engineer did not know what to say. And Kantama Garu says she felt so good to be part of Swami's army. It was like Swami was telling, like Lord Rama was telling, see, here my army is there. You want to build a bridge over the waters? Don't worry. You know, my army is there. They will do it. And that is how Bhagwan referred to all the members of this group as he was talking to the chief engineer of that project. And after that beautiful session with Bhagwan, one in the temple and one in the power project. One is the temple of worship and one is the temple of seva. After that, Swami and the party, they moved on to Mahanandi, another famous Shiva shrine. Now, Mahanandi is located to the east of Nalamala Hills. It is also near Karnool district. And it is surrounded by forests. In fact, within 15 kilometers of Mahanandi, there are 9 Nandi shrines. In fact, they are called as Navanandulu. And Mahanandi is one of the 9 Nandis. The Mahanandishwara Swami Temple, which is a very important shrine, that is located in Mahanandi, and this ancient temple dates back to over 1500 years. And all these 9 Nandi shrines are around this place. So there is Shivanandi, Vinayakanandi, Somanandi, Prathamanandi, Garudanandi, Suryanandi, Krishnanandi, Naganandi. And in all these places, Shivratri is a very, very sacred festival. One of the biggest celebrations happened in all these temples during Shivratri. So Bhagwan went to Mahanandi, and following Swami's car, where the buses were, all these devotees were there, and Kantama Garu was part of that group. And in fact, even as they were traveling, Swami would stop the car and Swami would come into the buses, and then Swami would give bananas, Swami would give snacks, and Swami would give sweets. And that is how Bhagwan was always. If you travel with Swami, Swami would continuously keep giving you something or the other. And the biggest thing is not receiving that fruit or that sweet, but you know, Bhagwan coming and spending time with you, traveling with Bhagwan, he giving you, joking with Bhagwan, you living with Bhagwan, you moving with Bhagwan. That was the biggest beautiful opportunity. And so they reached Mahanandi around noon, and they were received by Mr. Kutumrao. In fact, it was Mr. Kutumrao who had organized the entire program for Bhagwan there. For those devotees who had come to Puttaparthi in the 70s and 80s, it is the same Mr. Kutumrao who later on served in the Prashantinilayam Ashram as the caretaker of the Prashantinilayam Ashram. He was one of the very devoted, committed, exemplary servitors of Bhagwan. But these were the initial years of Kutumrao knowing Bhagwan. And so in Mahanandi, he organized this visit of Bhagwan. At that time, Mr. Kutumrao was a district judge at Nandyala. And Swami took lunch there. And since it was already a little late, Swami asked everyone to rest before visiting the temple. And everyone visited the Mahanandi shrine at 3 p.m. And the priest took Swami inside the temple. And they made Swami perform the puja, and the priest, and Swami also acted like any normal, ordinary human being, and he did the worship. Very difficult to understand Swami. Sometimes he would be so human. In fact, most of the times he would be human. You need to be blessed to be able to see those moments when he would reveal what he truly is. The Swami just played the role of a very casual devotee, and he did worship to the shrine there. And after the puja, Bhagwan and the group visited a pond which gets water from the hills via the mouth of Nandi. The water from the hills through a mouth of Nandi comes into that pond, and the water there was crystal clear. In fact, you could see the bottom of the pond very clearly. So some devotees took shower in that pond and some sprinkled water on their head. And in the evening around 6 p.m. at the guest house where Bhagwan was residing, Swami asked all the devotees to do bhajan. And in fact, it was not only members of Bhagwan's party. There were other pilgrims who had come to the sacred shrine, and they also came and joined this bhajan session in that guest house. And Swami himself started singing bhajans, and Swami sang the bhajan, Rama Nama. Ani prasadam idigo, take this prasadam, more devotees come and take this prasadam of Lord Rama's name. This prasadam is there in Parthi too, Randi Bhaktulara, O devotees, come. Idi Parthi Lonu Durukunu, in Parthi you will find this prasadam of Rama's name. Swami sang this song, and Mr. Kutumrao was so happy. He adorned Swami with a garland of roses. In fact, in those days, Swami used to accept beautiful garlands. Swami would love to be garlanded, and it was in fact his love for the devotees that he would accept these garlands. And all of this stopped after a while. In fact, in those days, devotees would get flowers from Dharmavaram. In fact, as people came to Puttaparthi, they would buy these flowers from Dharmavaram on the way, and they would start making a garland for Bhagwan. And all through the journey from Bukkapatnam to Puttaparthi, they would make the garland, and so that when they are, by the time they are in Puttaparthi, they have this huge, nice garland to offer to Bhagwan. Everyone would be in Bhagwan's presence by first offering the garland. So it was the same thing that Mr. Kutumrao did. He adorned Bhagwan with a lovely garland, and Swami took that garland out, which Mr. Kutumrao gave, and Swami raised that garland for everyone to see. And And even as everyone was seeing that garland, suddenly at the bottom end of that garland, mysteriously appeared a small sealed copper pot. And this copper pot, Swami picked and Swami showed that pot to everyone. And Swami said, Amritam has come for you, nectar has come for you. And then Swami asked for a knife. Swami opened that sealed pot. And then Swami said, no, I need a spoon. And Swami himself materialized a small golden spoon. And then Swami told all to be seated in proper files. And Swami said, all of you, open your mouths. I will come and one by one, I will drop Amritam straight into your mouths. So all the men and women segregated into two groups and Swami now started distributing this Amritam. Swami told, don't move. Be steady as I put this divine Amritam into you. So everyone waited with open mouths and bated breaths. And Swami did not disappoint anyone. It was not only the people of Bhagwan's group, whoever came, any pilgrim, whoever came there, whoever was lucky to be there. Swami put a drop of this Amrit into their mouths. And Kantamma garu says, as Swami put that drop, that one drop fell on my tongue and I don't have words to tell you how extremely fragrant and how extremely ethereally sweet it was. I can't tell you how it is. I can't tell you. I can't describe to you the taste of that nectar. It was just bliss. In Mahanandi, where you have Lord Nandi, the bull who became Nandishwara because of his focus on Lord Shiva. A bull became the servant of Lord Shiva because of his unstinted focus, unstinted one-pointed attention on Lord Shiva. That's what converted Nandi into almost a deity. And Bhagwan at this sacred site was asking the devotees to be steady. And as they were steady, Swami dropped into their mouths nectar. If our focus is steady, if our mind on the Lord is unwavering, then the Lord himself will come and drop nectar into us. And we will have no words to experience the thrill of that moment. That is the glory of Bhagwan's visit to these sacred shrines of Srisailam and Mahanandi in the December of 1963. He creates golden tummi flowers and golden bilwa leaves and exhorts people to chant and sing the name of the Lord in the shrine of Lord Mallikarjuna so that they will know how to make their lives fragrant. And when he comes to Mahanandi, he fills their lives with the nectar of bliss, nectar of knowing him, nectar of living with him. Bhagwan would often talk about Nandi during Shivaratri and Swami would say, if only all the boys, all the students, all the devotees can have God as the only focus, then you become not only a servitor of God, you also become the medium, you become a channel, you become a conduit for the Lord. We often see that when people visit the shrines of Lord Shiva, whatever has to be communicated to Lord Shiva, people say it in the ear of the Nandi. You would often find people saying something, whispering something into the ear of the Nandi in the shrines of Lord Shiva. They do it because it is believed that if you tell Nandi, it will go straight to Shiva, because Nandi's focus is only Shiva, nothing else. And you would always find that he is placed right in front, straight in the temple, in front of the idol of Lord Shiva, or in front of the Linga will be this Nandi. If only we have that kind of unstinted, unwavering focus on the Lord, definitely we will see our lives fill with His presence, with His fragrance, with His nectar. And Suryakantamma Garu, who was blessed to be with Bhagwan in all these sacred shrines, with tears of joy in her eyes, recalls those moments. In fact, as she narrates these things, you can see how there are shivers down her spine, because as she recollects these things, you know, which happened so many years ago, she's just recharged. And she's so grateful that we are documenting this, because it takes us back, takes her back to those days, and those days which she can never describe in words. Even today, in her little room in South Prashanti, she just sits there, thinks about these moments, and sheds tears of thrill and joy. And dear listeners, there are so many such souls in Prashantinilayam. Other day I met another very senior lady who has been coming for Nagar Sankirtan for so many years. In fact, she is in the wheelchair now, but she never misses Nagar Sankirtan. For 50 years she has been in Prashantinilayam, never missed Nagar Sankirtan, never missed Darshan. Comes from a very well-to-do family. All her relatives are abroad. But she has no complaints. In fact, she has become, because of her age, she has become very dependent now. But she has no complaints. He said, no, this is what Bhagwan blessed me with. Whatever I am going through, it is my karma. She has no regrets. And it is her faith, it is her unstinted love for Bhagwan that Swami looks after them in some way or the other. And every day their life is filled with joy. Filled with joy of living in Prashantinilayam, of thinking about Him, of doing His work. And Prashanti, I feel, is Prashanti because of the sacrifice, the selflessness of so many such souls. Prashanti is vibrant because so many have poured their heart and soul into this sacred fire which burns brightly, conferring warmth, love, light to hundreds and thousands every single day. And that's why there are innumerable beacons of Prashantinilayam. And if we take even one life and learn one thing from their life, our lives will be sanctified. And we'll continue this series of beacons of Prashantinilayam. There are many fantastic tales from the life of Suryakantamma Garu, which we'll continue in the coming episodes. Dear listeners, the Shanti comes after a bit of churning that happens within, and that churning is what is Prashanti is meant for. It purifies you so that you glow in His light, in His splendor, in His love. So I'll come back to you next week with rest of the journey in 1963 that Suryakantamma garu had with Bhagwan, and the later episodes from our life. As always, if you have anything to share with us, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments to our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. I will leave you with that beautiful bhajan where we adore the Lord as Nandi Vahana. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
Nandi Vahana Nataraja Hare. Nandi Vahana Nataraja Hare. Hindu Shekhara Shivaraja Hare. Nandi Vahana.